This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her sister had an imaginary friend. But was it something more?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We sure like hearing your real ghost stories, so if you have one, share it. We want to hear it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. My sister Kathy Gordon's in here today. I don't remember any of us kids having... Did any of us have an imaginary friend?
I was just trying to think about that, too. That's funny you mentioned that, because I didn't. Though, I mean, you know, I had a big imagination, you know. I walked around thinking I was in, you know, movies and what would the soundtrack sound like and things like that,
Of course.
You know. But I didn't ever have somebody that was there, you know, there.
I think it's interesting because I think so often, which is another topic we've talked a lot about on the show, I think so often, you know, parents... Siblings will dismiss it as, oh, that's Kathy's imaginary friend, rolling eyes here, you know, but in reality, maybe it's something more. Maybe the kid is seeing uncle or aunt
or
Diane
another child
or somebody.
Because no, I never had someone who was very real to me that I played with or talked to or whatever. I talked, but it was just imaginary. You know,
because you could, I remember they always told me when I was little, nobody could ever shut me up.
Well, and I think that was true.
I talked all
maybe
the time.
Maybe you never have, actually.
I would talk to myself. I would sing. I was all the time entertaining myself.
I would do commercials. You know, I was big at like ironing and pretending I was on a TV commercial.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
Well, because it made it more fun.
And starch that
you
used to use.
Mom made us wash, like we would have to iron like pillowcases or simple things when we were young.
Just, I guess, to make us do something. Because really, who irons pillowcases?
No, you had to then because there wasn't the permanent press. Like they got really wrinkled and they were outside and, you know, whatever. Anyway, but we would iron and, you know, I would pretend like I was selling fabric something or other. But it wasn't really an imaginary friend. You
it was
know?
An imagination.
It was just imagination. That's why I think when people have imaginary friends, it's deeper.
Yeah,
I think there's something
bigger. This is a really interesting story, too. It's a little different, imaginary friend. So give it a listen.
Okay.
Hey, guys. My name's Ashley. I have a few stories for you. My family is kind of an empath on my dad's side. I get all that from them. But anyway, long story short, in 2000, I was in a really bad... Hey, guys. My name is Ashley. I have a few stories for you. My family is kind of an empath on my dad's side. I get all that from them. But anyway, long story short, in 2000, I was in a really bad car accident. It was me, my mom, my dad, and my two sisters. We slipped 4 times on the interstate into the other lane. And luckily, nobody got really hurt besides my sister, my middle sister. And she was in and out of the hospital. She almost died, and it was a really bad time. Well, when they brought her home, she was in a coma, in and out, and she had beanie babies. And I love these beanie babies, so I would go in her room, and I would steal them and take them to my room. Well, time went on, and she could get up, and she would talk to us, and she would be talking to a little girl. She always would talk to this little girl, and she said her name was Michelle. I'll never forget this. And one day I went to go sit down and there was a chair open next to her. And she said, my friend Michelle's sitting there. And I was like, no, she's not. Ha ha, I'm going to sit on her because I'm the oldest and I'm just a dick like that. But anyway, so I go to sit down and she's like, my friend's going to get you tonight. And I was like, okay, whatever. You know, we were little. Well, I had a Rottweiler. And he would sleep with me every night. And if we had like an upstairs room. Well, that night, he would not come upstairs. He sat and he whined and whined at the bottom of the stairs. And I was like, okay, I guess it's not coming up. So I go upstairs, you know. I'm laying down and a toy turns on in my room. And I just felt this presence. I could feel it. And I knew it just felt like something was staring at me. So I ran downstairs and my dog was at the bottom of the stairs. She was still whining. So when I ran downstairs, she started growling a little bit at the top of the stairs. So for like a week and a half, I laid at the bottom of the stairs with my dog because I was afraid to sleep in my room. So fast forward, we went to a park one day. And this park was by a cemetery. And my sister goes off, you know, we're taking pictures. Before this happened, we were taking pictures. It was a Polaroid picture. I still have that picture. I'll have to send it in to you guys. But we were taking pictures, and she walks off, and she's like telling her friend bye and this and that. We asked her. We said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, Michelle's leaving. She said that I don't need her no more, and she will see me again one day." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." Well, I got back home that night, and I was eating a bowl of cereal. I won't forget this either. And I was looking at that picture, and believe it or not, that little girl was in the picture with my sister. She was missing an arm, and my sister's story was when she got in a car accident in her coma, she would have the same dream 10 times. She had the same dream. And she would say, it's the little girl she got in a car accident to, and she was there to comfort her. And she would see her again one day. But, yeah. It's a crazy story. That's my story, you know. Michelle kind of messed with me a little bit because I was a bad girl, I guess, a bad sister. But anyway, that's my story. I hope you guys play it. You guys are awesome. I love your show. I plan to become an ETP soon. And yeah, you guys have a great night. Bye.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh my gosh, that's a really interesting story.
So she gets in this car accident, and that's where the imaginary friend came in.
Yeah, it wasn't there
help
before.
Her.
The imaginary friend was not there prior to the accident.
And then she was there to help her through the accident because she had been in an accident.
This is interesting. So I suppose one could argue that a traumatic situation, you invent something to help you get through it.
Correct.
Right? Whatever it takes. If that, you know, and then when you don't need it any longer, it's gone. But that wouldn't explain why it would show up in a photograph.
Exactly. And so that's one of those stories that I think, you know, so often it's just like, yeah, it's Michelle, her imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. And nobody believes it. But it does kind of make some sense because if she would, you know, really injured in this car accident, mm-hmm. And she can't communicate with anybody else, but somehow she's able to communicate with Michelle.
And she connects maybe to Michelle in the hospital. Maybe Michelle has been, you know, kind of
maybe
at the
Michelle
hospital
was, yeah.
And then attached herself to this other girl that needed her.
And then I love it at the end. It's like, you don't need me anymore. Mm-hmm. And she left her.
Yeah.
But so she was only there for that time, like mm-hmm. through the traumatic event and made sure she was going to be okay, and she's going to be okay, and she went on.
The other spooky thing is the toy turning on.
That's spooky. Something about children's electronic toys turning on their own, that's creepy to me.
Real creepy. Yeah.
But Michelle, maybe.
The dog, a Rottweiler, that could pull at your heartstrings a little bit.
I had a Rottweiler.
Yeah, and, you know, the dog's like, nope, ain't doing it.
Yeah. And I swear, you know, dogs pick up on stuff, people, you know, kids, I don't know.
And apparently the Rottweiler was fine with Michelle being around until Michelle got a little bit angry.
Yeah.
And then started, you know, turning on toys and acting up a little bit. then the Rottweiler is like, I don't want any of that.
And maybe Michelle wasn't as angry as, oh, look, I can do this.
Yeah. Or you didn't believe in me. Let me show you.
Yeah. Watch this. Mm-hmm. I'll scare the shit out of all y'all.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when you hear stories like that and you hear it from a person telling the story, it's just so real to me. And why couldn't that happen?
Well, they got a picture.
Exactly. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Here's another story.
Okay.
So I recently came across your show, and to say the least, have been binge listening ever since. It makes my daily commute much more bearable. Plus, I can always scare my boyfriend telling him the stories I've heard, which is always fun. My story takes place in the late 90s at a bed and breakfast in Mississippi. First, here's some background on the inn and what happened there. The house was once the home of a former politician during the Civil War era. I think that's not surprising by any means. Everything in the South connects back to the Civil War. The family that lived there had a set of twin girls, as well as a live-in maid. One day, as the story goes, the politician was holding a private meeting in the house along with many other well-to-do men. During the meeting, someone noticed the maid was eavesdropping on their conversation. As a punishment, the homeowner decided to cut off one of the maid's ears. I know this is a story, so I don't know if it's true, but this is the legend.
Okay.
Obviously, holding on to her anger, the maid wanted to do something to get back at the homeowner. Now, I'm going to guess Civil War era, this wasn't just a employed maid.
Right.
She was a slave, is my guess. When the twins' birthday came around, the maid decided to put a small amount of oleander oil in their birthday cake to make the girls sick. Well, she overestimated how much oil she used, and the girls died from the poisoning. It was eventually found out what the maid had done, and she was hanged on the property.
Questions about this. Because how would somebody know and blame her for, like, the oleander?
My guess is maybe they don't know. I mean, this is the legend and how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
But the story could have been they caught the maid. I'm making up my own story now. They caught the maid. That seems legit. And that they cut off her ear. I could see that.
Okay. I could see them doing something like that, which is awful. But the cake story, I'm wondering if that was something else that
got blamed on her.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wondering.
So, yeah. Cut to 1998. My family and I were traveling to Mississippi to visit some of my dad's family. My parents decided we would stay the night at the inn to get a break from the rest of our family. Totally get that. My parents and sister are all skeptics of anything paranormal, which makes what happened to us that much more unexplainable. My sister, who is 11 years older than me, and I were staying in a bedroom that overlooked a small alleyway with a courtyard right behind it. That night, she and I were getting ready for bed when we heard what sounded like children laughing. As the 8-year-old I was really excited that there might be other kids my age staying at the bed and breakfast as well. My sister, on the other hand, was totally creeped out. We opened up the balcony doors and stepped outside to see if we could see anyone else. What we saw is an image I don't think I'll ever forget. There was still the sound of young girls laughing, and while we could not see anyone, what we saw looked like a small ball being passed back and forth between two people. However, there was no one there. This ball was floating back and forth in the courtyard and then suddenly fell to the ground and the laughter stopped. We ran to our parents' room to tell them what happened. I knew they believed us because my sister, who was 19 at the time, is not one to believe in ghosts or anything of the sort. The next morning at breakfast, we were sitting at a large round table with my sister and I sitting at opposite sides from each other. While we were telling the innkeepers what had happened the night before, we both got the feeling of someone grabbing onto our thighs extremely hard. My sister and I looked at each other at the exact same time with our eyes as big as saucers. We looked to see if it was our parents, but they were both too far away from us to have been able to reach both of our legs. I don't know what to take from this, but deep down, I believe it may have been the disgruntled maid trying to make her presence known. Thanks for reading this. Hope to hear it on the show. So that's a little bit creepy.
That's a really interesting story. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody is telling a story they're not supposed to be telling?
Yes.
And you reach under the table and you grab their leg or something.
That's what it feels like.
I'm not saying you would do this just to anybody, but a husband, a wife, somebody that you're, you know, intimate with or familiar with. And you reach under there and you squeeze them like, shut up. Like, do you know what you're going to just get us into here? And I feel like the girls are telling this story and someone reaches over and goes, shut up.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me,
but
too.
But I feel like it's children playing and the children are saying, like the twins that died were playing ball and laughing and having a good time. And they are haunting this place. And because they're telling them, be quiet. Don't tell them we were out there playing ball last night.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, you too. Know?
So I don't think it's the maid.
No, I don't think it was the maid at all.
I think it's the little girls.
I do too.
Yeah.
That's the way I picked up on that as well. I think it was the little girls, and it's like it was at night, they're outside playing, we're not supposed to be.
Right.
And they grab their legs.
Yeah, because they came out, they caught a little bit of it, and then as soon as these little girls realize they've been caught, the ball drops, the gun, it's over.
And then how creepy would that be, to hear kids laughing and then look outside and see a ball going back and forth?
Like somebody's throwing a ball to each other.
I can't even. I think I'd be traumatized for the rest of my life. Either it would be super cool to have had that experience or really, really frightening or somewhere in between. I don't know.
But like to say, you know, grab your leg and go, don't tell this story.
I know. You know? I just think it's creepy.
No, I love these stories that have these sorts of histories behind them.
I do too.
You know?
I like to know, like at the bed and breakfast, what is the history of the place? You know, I think that's always interesting. But to know that somehow these two girls died. And the thing is that at the time, the maid might not have even been eavesdropping on them. She might have just been walking by, but that's the way they acted during the Civil War in the South. It was like, well, she was eavesdropping, so we're going to show her because she was property at that time.
Yeah, or like,
and then the girls died, so who's going to get blamed for it?
Exactly.
She is.
Well, like, and, you know, maybe information from that meeting was leaked out. And so one of the other guys in the meeting was, well, I didn't do it. Must have been the maid listening at the door.
Yeah.
Even though they did do it, you know. Yeah. And so the maid gets punished. And then something happens with the girls. Who knows what happened with the girls?
Could have been the mom poisoning her own kids. Could have been the girls just got into some wild mushrooms or something.
But the maid gets blamed for it.
So the whole Oleander story, maybe it happened, but maybe she was just blamed for it.
I'm guessing that's more the case in this.
I don't know. That was a good story.
Yeah.
So if you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. Sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Sheba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Sheba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Sheba.com.